Hello, and thank you for joining us. My name is Eric Anderson, and I'm the portfolio manager for the Miltrust Global Emerging Markets Fund. With the COVID-19 pandemic and oil price volatility remaining extremely fluid, I wanted to give you a quick update on how things are looking on the ground across the key areas in the emerging markets. At the moment, the markets are extreme and emotional, but they will eventually normalize. We are not panicking, as our high conviction companies represent strong, high quality businesses that will likely be the first ones to bounce back once things settle down. What is absolutely clear is that the current valuations of the EM equities asset class have brought about an incredible buying opportunity. The Miltrust Global Emerging Markets Fund benefits from having over 150 professionals based locally in their region of expertise. They have over 2,000 years experience and over 6,500 meetings a year with corporates, decision makers, and government officials. The information that this brings us allows us to understand how companies operate their businesses in this environment, and it gives us added comfort that we are aware of the latest developments on the ground and therefore positioned appropriately. The portfolio currently trades at a PE level of 11 times with an average long-term earnings growth rate of around 21% versus 12% for the MSCI EM index. Now for the market update. Overall, there are signs that the virus has, for now at least, peaked and been contained in China, Hong Kong, Singapore, Taiwan, and Korea, which points to the probability that Asia will be the key driver for the eventual recovery of the world economy. What's clear is that the world will not be the same after this pandemic, and perhaps one of the biggest changes might be the perception of the relative risks of EM versus developed markets. In this crisis, emerging market governments are showing us, for the most part, that they know how to manage chaos, even if the initial reaction from China was slow. Their coordinated government system is generally faster, more flexible, and adaptable because they have to deal with crises on a regular basis. If you look at the country that is sending its doctors to Italy, it's China, an emerging market. Now to discuss a bit more on the country level, starting with China. In China, we are seeing early signs of recovery and continue to hold the view that consumption in the country is very likely to follow a sharp V-shaped trajectory, which is in stark contrast to consensus expectations of a slow and gradual recovery. Our on-the-ground channel checks also suggest Chinese consumers are willing to step up their spending once the government loosens restrictions on travel and social activities. In addition, to date, 9 provinces have announced reopening of schools, which could drive a back-to-school consumption burst. Over the last week, the situation has significantly improved in China. After a period of around 6 weeks of lockdown, the Chinese are largely back to their everyday lives, except for those in Wuhan, which is the ground zero for the COVID-19. In Shanghai, where our investment team is based, all public facilities have reopened. There is a lot more traffic on the streets, and the provincial government has publicly encouraged people to take their masks off. Anecdotally, many companies have been guiding to expect things to be back to normal by May or June. In terms of our Chinese investments, our team has not made any material changes since the Chinese New Year. Our Chinese exposure is slightly less concentrated to diversify risks given lower volatility, and we've added some exposure in more defensive names and sectors. During the past week, since March 16th, some of our portfolio holdings have announced full year 2019 earnings, which have surprised on the upside and provided some guidance for Q1 2020 and beyond. And encouragingly, property management services companies, our largest sector exposure and roughly 30% of our total China exposure, have guided that they have experienced minimal adverse impact in Q1 as a result of the virus outbreak. Our brand owners and sportswear retailers will experience a slowdown in Q1. That is inevitable, and we do not yet have full visibility into the extent of the impact. However, early signs have been encouraging. Anta Sports, a leading sportswear brand and one of our top holdings, expects revenue growth to narrow to minus 20% in Q1 and aims to deliver positive top and bottom line growth for 2020. This guidance is much better than the consensus expectations. Currently, our portfolio has expected earnings growth of around 30%. This is for our China exposure, and an average PE for China of 11 times, which is below the historical average. All in all, we believe that China currently presents a compelling investment opportunity as it already has COVID-19 in its rearview mirror, yet valuations are not reflecting this. In our view, the recent volatility has opened up interesting entry point for longer-term investors. Moving to Brazil. In Brazil, the team are very bullish on the domestic themes in the country and have therefore been increasing their exposure to names correlated to the Brazilian economy, especially in retail, logistics, and education. They have also added to commodity names that aren't linked to global infrastructure investments like the pulp and paper sector. The team believes some economic reforms will be approved this year by the government, with investors regaining focus in the Brazilian micro story as opposed to the all-out bloodshed we are seeing now. The Brazil economy still has a lot of room to grow, a big unemployment buffer, and all-time low interest rates. We expect Brazil to continue to have a cyclical recovery, which began at the beginning of 2016. Brazil also continues to score very well in our asset allocation models. In Korea, we've seen a number of our high-conviction structural growth stocks come down to attractive valuations. This includes Korean tech companies in the non-memory semiconductor, foldable display, and fintech sectors. There are also a number of businesses that will benefit from the current situation. Online shopping, as an example, has grown exponentially. Telework has started to become widespread. Telemedicine, which used to be very difficult to implement due to the strong opposition from the existing medical system in Korea, have also begun to operate. We expect Korea, as an export-driven economy, will likely enjoy a strong bounce back during the market normalization once global trade starts to recover. Korea also has potential to improve corporate governance, their corporate governance structure, which through the adaptation of a stewardship code, which will catalyze a re-rating of the market. In India, which has been in the news recently, the whole country is on lockdown for 21 days. This is positive. You know, as India moves into line with the rest of the world, allaying fears that they would move too slowly. The market reaction this morning, close to 7%, supports this view. The government has plenty of room for fiscal spending, and we expect to see further interest rate cuts going forward. However, the impact on earnings will be significant for most businesses in India. But we do take comfort from our heavy exposure to consumer staples and some major industry disruptors that are likely to continue to grow at superior growth rates and are better insulated from the mitigation efforts. Overall, valuation in the Indian market have receded to the long-term average in terms of PE and below long-term average, closer to -1 standard deviation in terms of price-to-book multiples. The trailing PB for the Nifty on Monday was within 12% of its 20-year low. EM as a whole is within 13% of its 20-year low. So some more numbers to throw at you here. The yield gap between earnings yield and bonds yield has also turned positive, which indicates attractive valuations. Our India team points out that over the last 15 years, whenever this yield gap has turned positive, the returns over the next 12 months has been significantly positive, in a range between 20 to 40%. And we believe the same can play out this time as well. Finally, unsurprisingly, India will benefit from a lower oil price. If you look at 2019, 30% of India's imports were oil. A lower price will feed through to greater consumer discretionary income, which actually benefits our Indian exposure, which is heavily consumer focused. In Russia, speaking of oil, after the recent market corrections, the Russian market is currently trading at a cheap 5x PE while offering an incredible high dividend yield of 11% for 2020. Russia is in an oil price war with Saudi Arabia, although they are arguably in a more comfortable position versus the other oil producers, as per our investment team. Russia also has a flexible exchange rate, with the ruble tending to move broadly in line with the terms of trade. Higher commodity prices tend to result in a stronger ruble and vice versa. The social impact in Russia is different from Saudi Arabia's, as the Russian economy is more diversified and most ordinary consumer goods are produced in Russia. In addition to Brazil, Russia is another country that scores very well in our asset allocation models. Finally, valuations across Africa pre-COVID-19 were already at decades low and are now even cheaper given the global macro backdrop. Valuations are trading at 8.7x forward earnings, which is more than three standard deviation discounts from its 7-year average. Dividend yields around just under 6%. And the South African rand has also blown out and is over 20% cheaper than its long-term average, which provides a good entry point to invest. While the low oil price benefits many countries across Africa, including South Africa, Kenya, Egypt, and Morocco, it is a negative for Nigeria, whose economy is heavily reliant on the oil price. The exposure in our portfolio remains in Tier 1 Nigerian banks, which have strong balance sheets and large U.S. dollar books. The African consumer will remain under pressure, but the portfolio has exposure to more defensive names in the food, retail, and telco space. The team is looking to add on weakness and potentially add quality names with some which have sold off indiscriminately. As a final point, we have seen emotional and extreme markets, as I mentioned, these past few weeks. So this irrational price action will inevitably normalize. And when it does, we are confident that the high-quality companies that we own in the portfolio will benefit greatly. Until then, this certainly provides a very attractive entry point for investors into emerging markets. Thank you for listening.